don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like this. We want to live by each other.
When one is able to repeat step, into the purity and heartened space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit become revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes a vision where the destination of such a path, when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truth. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And so welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I am your host, Jobo Ayala Ayapanya, registered nurse and the author of my book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. Quantum Mindfulness Radio broadcasts every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. And so for tonight's topic, the rise of heightened global consciousness, we shall delve into the intriguing world of the Mayan calendar with my special guest for tonight's show, Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman. Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman is a scientist and philosopher born in Stockholm, Sweden, recognized as the main proponent of the idea that the Mayan calendar reflects the evolution of consciousness. He has lectured worldwide, and his many books on this topic alone have been translated to 14 languages. He has a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm and has been a senior researcher of environmental health at the University of Washington in Seattle. He has served as an expert on cancer for the World Health Organization, and articles for which he has authored and co-authored have been quoted many times on over, 15 times over within the scientific literature. Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman has written the following books. His first book, Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar. His second book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. His third book, The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origins and Evolution of Life. And then he had written his last and most recent book, which is the first volume of his paradigm-shifting trilogy, entitled The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. And so I welcome to you for the very first time on Quantum Mindfulness Radio, Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman. Thank you for being here, Carl, on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Thank you very much, Joel. It's a pleasure. I think it's a great... Your radio station has a great title for the kind of things that we're going to discuss.
Your research deals with consciousness, evolution. It also deals with topics which relate to quantum theory, sacred geometry, ancient civilizations, sacred sites. And so I believe we are going to have a very wonderful conversation tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Yes.
We will be talking about consciousness for the most part, evolution, and the topic of your book and the subject matter of all of your work that you have done and research for the many, many years. But for our listeners who do not know what consciousness is, would you be able to describe in brief detail what consciousness is to you and how it relates to your work?
To begin with, I don't think anybody can say that he or she knows what consciousness is. It's some real basic aspect of reality that doesn't go back to anything further, and so it's hard to actually define precisely. I'm in my most recent book here, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. I'm kind of making it easy for myself by dealing with the mind. and studying the evolution of the mind. And that, I think, has a bearing on what consciousness is. There is a relationship between mind and consciousness. So whenever there is a shift in a mental shift, when there is a shift in the global mind, I also believe there will be a shift in consciousness. So I define it by saying that consciousness is that which is compartmentalized by the mind. In other words, the consciousness is whole and undivided by itself, connecting all aspects of life in the universe. But the mind is something that tends to create division or separation within this consciousness. And so whenever there is a shift in the human mind, there will also be a shift in consciousness of the human beings, and if you like, also all over the universe. So this is how I look upon it. It's still I think it is a matter that we really will not be able to fully define in any way. I also tend to think that it's part of the divine. I think consciousness is somehow the same thing as the divine. But then again, that's another thing that I can't really define, because my own mind is too limited in this context to actually be able to define whatever created it.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Yes, you have raised many elements to that response, and we could just go off of many directions. The brain and the mind and consciousness, our entities that we think we know to be true, they are actually very different from each other. I would have to say the mind in itself is essentially something that we cannot fathom, because it is just so complex. I remember in the book and many reviews that have basically complimented your work on this current book in itself, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, they had made mention that there are many elements to approaching this book, but the major approach is primarily seeing it at a different level and not at the egoic level where there is much duality.
The mind carries a lot of duality, or it has done so, at least for the first 5,000 years. The way I look upon it, human beings first acquired a mind 5,000 years ago, and that mind is a dualistic mind. It's what in the Bible was referred to as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or if you take the Chinese correspondent of the same thing, it's the yin-yang symbol. It's a mind that separates this light to darkness duality the mind has carried. And that has sort of meant a lot of different things. First of all, the duality has been a very good service in humanity's creation of a civilization, in the creation of her mental abilities to write, to count, and many other things. On the other hand, this mind that was first downloaded 5,000 years ago, it's a polarized mind. It's sort of a yin-yang mind. It's a good-evil perception mind. And so for this reason, it's also created societies that have been quite polarized, and relationships between different peoples that have been quite polarized, etc., etc. So it's not an... we often like to have ideas that to say that the mind is a good thing, or we might say that the mind is a bad thing. I wouldn't say either of those. It's a phenomena that's been crucial in implementing significant aspects of human civilizations. But to say that it's good or to say that it's bad, I don't think is relevant. It has different aspects. And the whole purpose of writing this book is for us to know what the mind is and where it comes from and how we are affected by it. And by knowing this, we will also have some kind of power in where the mind is going, hopefully, in the future.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.
And some people just, they are intrigued, but they just don't know what is exactly happening with all this new knowledge and understanding and wisdom, which we think is new age. But I don't even like to refer to this knowledge as new age, because it's been in existence for thousands and thousands of years. It's just resurfacing again from what I guess many researchers and philosophers and spiritualists might say, arising from the fall of grace.
Yeah, right. It's not a new thing, but certainly this whole discussion of whether the mind is created, or consciousness, whether it's created by the brain or whether it comes from somewhere else, and we, our brains basically are antennas for it. That's kind of a discussion that's in different forms has been around for a long time. And in the position today of mainstream science and the sciences of psychiatry and neurology and all sciences, basically, is that the mind and consciousness is created by the brain. And that's a viewpoint that has far-reaching consequences, so to speak.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
and
yes, for sure.
But what I hope to have proven in this book is the opposite viewpoint, which by no means is a new one. It's just that we now have so much data that I think we can sort of prove that it isn't actually created. The mind isn't created by the brain. The mind comes from the outside and is, yes, downloaded it to us, and that creates a completely different range of questions. Where does it come from? How does it change? What role does it play in the evolution of human species and her societies, etc., etc.? A completely new set of questions have to be addressed if you accept that the mind is not created by the brain, but is coming from the outside.
Yes, I really have to agree on that for the most part. I believe that many things that are going on right now, that the energies that are being exposed to our planet, and from my understanding and for what I feel within my heart, I do believe that the newest of energies that are coming by, and you know, as it relates to the end of this cycle and the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, a new level of consciousness, a new downloading per se, is coming into our existence, our awareness. And so from your research and from your past work with this book, The Global Mind, we are currently, from my understanding, we are already in the new cycle.
Well, it would be something I would like to spend a lot of time clarifying my own viewpoint on that. As you mentioned earlier, this is a trilogy, and only in the third book am I planning to deal with the whole issue of where the mind is going. And I don't think it's correct to say that the Mayan calendar came to an end. I would say that a major shift point happened in 2011. Not 2012, as people think, but a major shift would occur. The Mayan calendar, you might say, it describes a series of waves. They would themselves look upon these waves as divine creation waves. And these waves, they create different evolutionary processes by how they change the human mind, you might say. And there was a shift then. You know, any wave will go between peaks and valleys and so forth. And what happened in late 2011 was that a number of these waves would shift from peak to valley and back again, so to speak. And unfortunately, it is a little bit more complex than many would have thought. And so this is something I will address in the third volume of the trilogy. But the waves actually continue. It wasn't an end to the calendar, as we were all a little bit wondering if it would be an end to the calendar. But I think now I would say the waves have shifted, and they are continuing without end, as far as I can tell.
From my understanding and from my research alone, again, I apologize for making mention that it's the end of the Mayan calendar, and it's that's a statement that much of the media stated about the end of that cycle, but the continuation of the new, and for sure it is not the end of that particular wisdom as established by the Mayan. And everything that happens is in cycles, just like the seasons, just like the menstrual cycle, just like many aspects of our lives. It continues on in cycles of things, and the misnomer of what we have been miseducated about is that everything is linear, and that is not for sure to be true. And again, I apologize to many of the audience members that, yes, that was not the intent to say that it is the end of a Mayan calendar, but definitely for sure the continuation of it, but the continuation of cycles, where there are the end of cycles and then there's the beginning of cycles as well. Dr. Kalaman, I really resonated towards the quotation in your book, and I believe it was in the first chapter. It is not the evolution of civilization that has created the mind, but the evolution of the mind that has created civilization. And so from what you see now in the forefront and from what has just passed in the last many significant years, do you feel that we are at the cusp of another spike in a heightened consciousness, to where another great in civilization can arise from this age?
I think it's a very complex situation. I think actually that much of what we call civilization today is on its way out, or even dying, so to speak. And which means that a lot of things that maybe turn out to be quite difficult for us who have become accustomed to doing things in a certain way according to this particular civilization that we have been living in. At the same time, there are nine major waves of the Mayan calendar system. The nine waves, they correspond to different frames of minds. And it's typical that the Mayan pyramids built in their temple sites in Mexico and Guatemala, they are, the main ones are built in nine levels. And so the climb of one of these pyramids means that you are going through sequentially the different levels of mind that that the universe and the earth has gone through during the course of its existence. And the highest of these levels, and this is really the maybe the most significant aspect of the shift that we are now experiencing. The highest is the ninth wave. And this wave is one that doesn't have that kind of duality, that kind of polarity that I mentioned earlier. It's not a yin-yang wave. It's actually a possibility of creating a unveiled relationship to the divine. And so, or to, if you want to use another language, you can say this is an opening to be part of a unity consciousness. And one of the fundamentals of the Mayan calendar and how it works in creating human civilization is that it works according to the principle of as inside, so outside. So the changes through resonance happen initially inside of the human beings themselves. The first thing when there is a shift in the calendar is that there is a shift in the mind. And as that happens, then human beings will start to create a different kind of external reality. Because we can't really see the mind. We see the world through the mind, so to speak. But the mind is somewhat to us like the water is to the fish. And so it's just mind. We're always dominated by a particular frame of mind. And we may not notice that we are changing. But what happens is that the external creations that human beings will do will change. And they will create an external reality in accordance to the mind that they have at a particular point in time. And so what this means is that since we now have, since a few years ago, since 2011, since the ninth wave with this unity consciousness was activated, it means that now, for the first time, I would say, in human history, does the possibility exist for us to create an external world, an external reality that is based on this kind of unity consciousness, and will, you might call this a higher consciousness, if you like. I prefer just to say that it's a mind that doesn't have any veils, a mind that doesn't judge, a mind that doesn't see good and bad, so to speak. And this is just very recently activated, and it will now, as far as I can tell, forever be a possibility for humanity to download and to express after having downloaded it. And but at the same time, I think that much of the old civilization will go down actually. And this is not, I don't expect this to be any kind of an easy ride, so to speak. I expect it to be something that has a positive direction, and but at the same time, it's not just sort of much of what we become used to might come to disappear in this shift that we're now going through.
Yes, yes, for sure. It will definitely be a transition, and a slow transition at that. Of course, none of this great in civilizations, or even transitioning from one age to the next, is never an easy ride. There's much adjustment that has to be involved in such a process. And so as we conclude the very first segment of this show, we will continue on with our conversation with Dr. Carl Johan Kalemann, author of The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. On Quantum Mindfulness Radio, we will continue our conversation with my special guest, Dr. Carl Johan Kalemann.
Hi. This is singer-songwriter Robin Avery. It's a privilege to be on BBS Radio. You've been listening to music from my new release, The Way You Hold Me. Come visit me and check out the CD at robinavery.com.
Okay, now we are back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, and I have my special guest again with me, Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman. He is the author of the book, his last book that he had just written. It is The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. And again, I'd like to thank you, Carl, for joining me here today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, over the break, we were talking of many, many different topics and elements of your research and all of the topic. Well, I wouldn't say all, but a pretty good portion of what has been talked about, felt about through many books that have been coming out in the scene concerning the Mayan calendar, concerning the divine feminine, concerning the many portions of the energies that you had mentioned throughout our conversation, the downloading of a consciousness that is connected to the divine and how it relates to the unity of consciousness of everything from Mother Earth to Father Sky to humanity and all the animals in between. So I would like to bring into conversation from what we had talked about and how your book relates significantly to the flower of life, sacred geometry, the tree of life that you had mentioned earlier on the show, and how energetically upon this age that we are living right now.
Yeah, well, it really takes its starting point with the beginning of the Mayan long count, which is a wave movement, a metaphysical wave movement that started 3,115 BC. And it's fairly long been known that this is a good time, if we want to set some demarcation line, when human civilizations start. In other words, the oldest written languages, the first pyramids, the first calendars, the first monarchies, many other firsts that we associate with the rise of civilization happen to appear simultaneously in several different places on our planet at that particular time, at the particular time that the Maya defined as the starting point of what they called the Long Count, which is a very significant calendar system for the Maya. They would date all their different pyramids and royal histories and so forth in terms of this Long Count, or in other words, how their own history related to the beginning of this Long Count, 3,115 BC. And so it's just a fact that this is the time of the beginning of the major civilizations, the early civilizations. The question is just how can we explain that? How can we connect this? And the best thing, way of doing it is to go to the ancient Mayan sources themselves, and because they addressed the issue, what happened when their long count started 5,130 years ago. And what it says there in a very critical inscription in Palenque in southern Mexico is that at that point in time, the first father, as it says, erected the world tree, or if you like, the tree of life. It's just another word for the same thing. Anyway, he erected the world tree and partitioned the earth in eight different segments. And the world tree on a global level, according to the Maya, it really is a reference to the polar axis, so to speak. But it's the polar axis, as we know, even though it's a non-physical phenomenon, it still is a straight line, you might say. It's a straight line between the north and the south pole. And so what really this inscription says is that this straight line And the partitioning of the earth in eight different, according to eight different straight lines, was activated at this particular point in time. So, in their definition, not in any made-up definition, but in the actual Mayan inscription talking about this, the event was actually one of sacred geometry. It was an event of activating the straight line of the polar axis. And that we can see manifested in history, because we really don't have any kind of straight lines in archaeological records before the right. the Egyptian pyramids.
Yes.
So suddenly there is no straight line visibly on our planet. You know, we can talk about the polar axis, but somehow that was activated, that aspect of sacred geometry. And once that sacred geometry was activated, you started to see it in all possible many kinds of ways. You see it in crosses, you see it in rectangular house foundations, in pyramids with an astounding geometric precision, etc., etc. So this is very basic sacred geometry, but nonetheless, just the fact that it came there really helped the people to start organizing their world in a way that they had never done before. And my book makes a strong case of the connection of the activation, the divine activation of sacred geometry and the rise of civilization.
Is there anything that we can look forward to, expecting and anticipating more activations?
Well, I think we're just in a beginning of a activation. Whatever happens, you know, whenever there is a shift in the Mayan calendar, that shift takes place on some kind of a metaphysical level. And it takes a while until people are actually starting to manifest it. It takes a while until it becomes visible in the physical reality. Recently, there was this activation of the ninth wave of the system of the Mayan calendar. And now that's only in 2011. So what that means is that only a very few children, maybe 3 years of age at most, will have been sort of fully born into that new possibility. And some of them, I expect, will fully come to manifest and embody this new possibility of consciousness. But most of us, you know, we're much older than that. And that means that we have been living under the influence of another kind of geometry, a yin-yang geometry that has shaped our minds in a dualistic way and has created our emotional lives in a dualistic way and has created our bodies and the health of our bodies in a dualistic way, etc., etc. And we are now only beginning to sort of download a new possibility, the ninth wave, the activated in 2011. And as that happens, we can still be part of it. And I would think that that is the way that we are meant to go, to the extent that we believe in a divine plan. And but it's not something that, you know, we will not completely change over one day or something like that. It will require our intention to go into this unity consciousness. It may require a commitment to go through what it takes to change ourselves in a sense, to change our habits from having been shaped by a completely different global mind in the past. So I think in the end, this is something to look forward to. I'm convinced that the divine plan is to bring people to a unity consciousness. And because in the end, that's the only path towards survival. Unity consciousness means connecting with everything, taking everything into consideration, and so forth. And I do believe that is sort of where things are meant to go. But it won't be easy, and we will all have to face ourselves with the with the habits we have from the past and our dualist ways of thinking and judging and comparing and etc. But that's the direction that I see things going according to the Mayan calendar.
Now, from my understanding as well, I do believe from reading your biography and many of your information as well, that you have a direct link and connection to the Mayan elders. Now, with that said, do you know by chance of how, and I'm sure that we were in a direct unity polarity as opposed to duality and unification together at one point, but then how did we fall from that level of consciousness, that approach of things towards all of life, all of humanity, our world as in Mother Gaia and the divine? How did we fall from grace from that point within the cycle? Or is it just one of those things that just happens and then we just go back to where we came from, home, to a sense of unity, to a sense of heaven upon earth and Christ consciousness within all of our hearts? Is that part of the whole swing of things, the cycles, and we basically go back and forth, the yin and yang of things, from what you had mentioned?
Yeah, well, I don't look upon it as going back and forth in some kind of a total pattern, but I do think that if you go back more than 5,000 years, or if you go back more than 10,000 years, people were living in a state of unity without even thinking about it. They were in a state of unity with nature, with the animals, with the earth, and so forth. But what happened when 5,000 years ago was that people started to download the mind. And when the mind is downloaded, which has that aspect of a dualistic perception of reality, then people become separate. And you might call this a fall, but it's a fall that created civilization, on the other hand. And so then this mind has run its course of 5,000 years. And it, in a sense, it will continue endlessly that too, except that on top of that has now been added new possibilities for us. The possibility, for instance, of returning to a state of unity consciousness, but at another level. In other words, on top of all the evolution that has brought civilization forward to where we are now, and, you know, as, for instance, making it possible for us to talk on the phone and on the internet and so forth. These are things we could not have done without downloading a dualistic mind. That's a technology that comes from a separating mind, an analytical mind, and so forth.
And so with that said, you know, just talking about this wisdom, this knowledge, why is it that it is different from what it is taught to the normal, everyday layperson, to society for that matter? When this information is significant, it's relevant, it is very synchronistic, synergistic in many ways, that ties in well with, again, the three elements of what the talk show is about and what your research entails is the philosophy, the science, and just the spirituality of things and how it all integrates together. Why is there such a withdrawal of this type of knowledge from the normal everyday psyche? And I understand it's a mindset. It is the download of the mind that has been coming to us. But if you can further collaborate on that thought.
Yeah, well, I think as you're saying, it's, you know, the our civilization is built essentially on that particular dualistic mind, and we've come to a point where enormous interest have been linked to a certain way of thinking, so to speak, just economically speaking, the interests are billions and billions and trillions of dollars probably that have been invested in a certain kind of, I would say narrow-mindedness. In other words, sometimes what happens is that this rational mind, it takes over, and that's what it does for most of society. And so we make unwise decisions because because the mind is actually a limiting factor in our ability to comprehend the consequences and so forth. It's just that everybody is in one way or another entangled with these interests, I think. So it becomes very hard to break it, its spell, its power. And I think it will happen, but I don't think that it will necessarily be happening in a very smooth or pleasant way to us. In fact, this entanglement of interests that are really ultimately contrary to what creation is meant to be about, that this entanglement is so strong that it will have to, there will be things that are really, disruptive that is coming along. And only after that, or as a result of the disruptive of all this entangled interest, do I believe that it will be possible for us to create a new, more unified world based on a unity consciousness.
And yes, it's going to take the role of everyone here, I believe, and for the people who are aware and conscious already as it is to this level of approach, this knowing, this awareness, that there is a great deal of struggle as well of the insurmountable amount of people that is left in the dark because of course, of the multimedia, television, news, and which is, again, a lot of the distraction of things. And for me, per se, including my wife and my particular household, we try our best to be exposed to the worldly events, just to be acknowledgeable of what is actually happening currently around our environment. But to consciously abstain from all of that clutter that can often take you off of focus, which is a lot of humanity is basically focused on not on the more relevant things or significant things, but again, what I said earlier, the clutter. And so as a guiding type of instruction and encouragement from you, from all of your research and from your connections to the Mayan elders and your research, what would you recommend as for the people who are trying to place more of a heightened consciousness towards the people who are left in the dark? What is your recommendation for many of the people who are out there right now?
Yeah, I think for the first thing is to be aware of this new possibility that the ninth wave brings. And so, of course, as part of this, I recommend the reading of my own books, because that is, it takes it from the realm of wishful thinking to something much more tangible and provable and meaningful in that particular sense.
Yes, yes.
And then the next thing is to create the intention to be one person who wants to be part of crafting this unity consciousness.
Exactly.
And commit ourselves to doing that, And there are many different, spiritual schools and so forth. To find one that seems to really have a big perspective and looks upon not just as an individual path, I should say that, but this is a direction of humanity in a more collective sense. In other words, to find something that is not just sort of trying to enlighten us as individuals, but one that realizes that we can only be enlightened to the extent that everyone else is enlightened. Ultimately, that's where the world will need to go. And to find that kind of teachings that brings you to that, and to practice a lot of discernment when it comes to these, to find the authenticity and so forth, and then go for that, and be aware of that, and be aware that this is really a way. It's all about changing ourselves, really. We think of changing the world, and I'm not saying we should not think to change the world,
yes.
But I think we should, have the focus on changing ourselves, because that is the way of changing the world. And this comes from the knowledge that I think the Mayan calendar brings, that
yes.
Change comes from the inside to the outside.
From within.
And so if we want to be part of creating in such a world, we'll have to start with ourselves. And then, of course, that doesn't contradict whatever actions you want to take to change the outer world. But if you're just trying to do manipulate the outer world, so to speak, you may not bring the highest wisdom to the question that you're addressing. So I think that's a crucial thing, to start with ourselves. And but ultimately, we will have to change the external world in alignment with our inner change.
Absolutely, absolutely. That just really raised the hairs on my arms just to hear you say that. And I believe that's the ultimate message for many of our sacred teachers, the ancients, the Mayan calendar, and just all of the cultures, like you had mentioned before, that have resonated from mm-hmm. the beginning of the Long Count and the rise of the Giza Plateau, the Peruvians, the significant amount of growth in Mesopotamia. Just a great deal of a birthing of a higher consciousness once that calendar mm-hmm. had been given birth by divine creation from divine blueprint of things.
Yeah.
And so definitely for sure that this is something that, and I wrote about it within my own book. And of course, during that time, during the process of writing my book, I would often go into meditation or go into basically a state where I would be in the heart, focusing on the positive energies of things. And during those 2 years within the process, it has brought a lot of knowledge and wisdoms to me when I put that thought or idea into paper. And what you had mentioned earlier was changing yourself. And I made mention of that. And I, with my patients that I have on the psychiatric unit, I basically relay that information all the time. You must change yourself in order to change your environment. And the universe, and however way it is basically laid out in blueprint, the universe will have no other choice but to mimic the exact change that you have made for yourself. And that in
That's
itself,
a good way.
It is scientific, again, philosophical, and very spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and for which all of that connects together. Dr. Kellerman, yeah. We are out of time. And for a 60-minute session, there is just no time to converse about everything that needs to be talked about. But I would love to have you back on the show. I believe this is one of many different phases of our connection and why we were aligned to connect about this conversation, mm-hmm. about the many topics about our books and the many journeys that we will have together in raising consciousness, not only between you and me, but again, we just cannot do it alone. We have to do it together, and we have to show an example from what we can change from inside. Dr. Kalaman, I thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I included many of my listeners. We are honored to be in conversation with you tonight, and I thank you for joining us here on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Thank you very much, Joel. I have enjoyed it thoroughly, and I really enjoyed the discussion we had. We're aligned.
Yes, for sure. And bless you on your journey, and we will definitely keep in touch. Thank you, Dr. Kalaman, for everything and our connection together here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Thank you very much, Joel.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Congregation, please be seated and open your prayer guides to the Book of Revelations, Psalm 69.
Missed this show or any other previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived on the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining us here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.